Cross Point, how we feeling? All right, I'll give you a pass. You don't know me that well. At all of our locations, I want to try that one more time. I like a little energy in the room. Cross Point, how we feeling? That's better. Hey, I'm really, really excited to hang out with you guys today. I want to welcome you if you're joining us over in Dixon, Bellevue, Mount Juliet, one of our dream centers, God Behind Bars. If you're joining us online, and then Jason Miller's been great, but I got to admit, he's left Franklin out a few times, so I got to show some special love to my peeps over in Franklin. I love you guys. Hey, so we have been walking through this series, A Day in the Life Together, which ultimately we've been talking about stewardship. Stewarding meaning to make the most of something. And so a couple weeks ago, Jason Miller kicked us off and talked about how we can make the most of our time. He described the difference to us between chronos time and kairos time. Chronos being a measurement of time and kairos being the potential we have in a moment of time. And so he challenged us to live in kairos time, to make the most of the potential we have in every moment of time. And then last week, he talked to us about how to make the most of our finances. What could we do with what we have? What could we accomplish with what we've been given? So we're going to continue today talking about making the most of something. But first, I want to ask you at all of our locations, participate with me, have a little fun. If you've taken some form of a personality test, would you nod your head? Most of us have taken some form. Maybe it's something official like a Myers-Briggs or a DISC profile, or maybe you just answered 10 questions on Facebook that told you which Seinfeld character you were. We've all taken some form. Most of us have. Let's have a little fun. Maybe you've taken the DISC profile. I'm just curious at all of our locations. Would you raise your hand if you scored high in the D category, the domineering category? Okay, what about the I, the influential category? All right, what about S, sustaining? Or C, conscientious? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? That's awesome. One thing I've begun to notice is that personality tests really speak in their own language. If you haven't taken the DISC profile, you're not really sure what somebody's talking about when they say, hey, I'm a DIS. You're like, that's great. I have no clue. And what else I've started to notice is that personality tests, as we make more and more of them, the descriptions start to get just a little bit weirder and a little bit weirder. A few years ago, my brother came home for Christmas. On Christmas night, all of our family was together, our siblings, our spouses. We were at my parents' house. He brought home this new book that was a personality test. And he wanted us all to go through it, all the siblings. He wanted to know, like, who is what. But this book was interesting because it was a book written entirely for women. Okay, it was to help them discover what their personality as a woman was. It would describe their strengths and their weaknesses, and then it would show them what being a mature woman in that personality type would look like. And he thought, man, it doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. We can just exchange her for him or she for he. We'll be fine. Let's just take the test. So we all crowd around the table, my siblings, the spouses, my mom's there. Now, my dad, he will not take a personality test. You might as well tell him he's standing in front of some lady with a crystal ball telling him about his future. It freaks him out, okay? So we sit down and we take the test. The book is called Vessels and Flowers. And what it is your personality is which vessel you are that holds flowers. I'm a vase. And if I wasn't insecure about my personality already, I'm a vase. If you think that's ridiculous, somebody say, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. Okay, so I'm a vase. We start reading the description. Now, this part gets kind of fun, okay, because we're sitting with my siblings. And if you've read one of the descriptions on these personality tests, they usually puff you up a little bit, right? So the reading starts, a vase can often work circles around other people. You know what? Maybe I am a vase. I can deal with that. Okay, let's keep reading. Because a vase has an organized mind, he does not waste movement. Thus, he is very productive. Now, I'm starting to feel a little proud about myself. I'm around my siblings. I've moved away, and I'm back for Christmas. I'm like, hey, your little brother's grown up a little bit. You seeing this? You seeing what this Vessels and Flowers book says I am? Check this out. He is very resourceful, able to connect people and materials together to accomplish any task. This is great. I'm loving this new book. But then, like any personality test, they puff you up, they build you up, they give you the positive, and then they take the turn. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't know why they give you all the positive first. It's almost like they're setting you up for just sheer heartbreak, okay? Because then the reading continues. As he focuses on the task at hand, he can be insensitive to others. This vase with a hard outer surface can be insensitive. Now, I raise my eyebrows, and then I notice my wife sitting next to me. Her eyes get bigger, and she won't make eye contact with me. She's looking at the table, just nodding her head. Yes. The reading continues. His forceful movements toward the goal means those that get in his way can get steamrolled by his vase. Now I notice my siblings, their spouses, my mom, they're all looking at the table, won't make eye contact with me, and they're all nodding their head. Yes. I even hear someone go, mm-hmm. And then it has to go and say this. The vase has his very own radio station called WIIFM. What's in it for me? Come on. That's messed up. I'm a vase. God. Personality tests can be fun. They can show us what our strengths are. They can point out our weaknesses. And that can be a lot of fun. What I want to talk to us about today is how we can make the most of our gifts. Okay? Track with me for a second. I believe that we were all created with unique personalities. Each of us. Uniquely created with some pretty cool personalities. But on top of that, I believe that we all have gifts. And what I mean when I say gifts today, I'm talking about skills, talents, strengths, okay? And I'm referring to them as gifts because I believe the same God who created us with these personalities also created and gave us these skills and strengths for our lives. And that these skills, these gifts, are to be used for a purpose to show the world who God is so that they can recognize and know that there's a Savior in Jesus. That's why we have these skills and strengths. So that's why I refer to them as gifts. Now, you may be here today at one of our locations joining us, and you may not believe in Jesus. So you were tracking with me, you were having a good time, and as soon as I said, I feel like our skills and our talents are to be used to show the world who Jesus is, you might have just clued me out. I want you to stick with me for a second. Because the guy that we're going to hear from today, his name is Paul. And when we first met Paul, he actually did not believe in Jesus either. In fact, he was spending his time tracking down and even killing people just because they believed in Jesus. But then he met Jesus, and his life changed and his heart transformed. And after spending some time planting churches, he then wrote some letters back out to these churches as encouragement, as challenge, to challenge them. And that's what most of our New Testament is Paul's letters to these churches. And he's the very one that pointed out what these gifts are in our lives and what the purpose they have in our lives is. So I want to look at one of his letters, to the church he wrote at Corinth. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4. You can read along on the screen or look it up. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but they are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. Paul believed that God, on top of the creative personalities he gave us, has given us skills and strengths that are to be used to show the world who God is. So today, we're going to look at what it looks like to make the most of the gifts, the skills and strengths that God has given us. But in order to make the most of something, you got to recognize what you have. Let's go back to last week, talking about stewarding our finances. How do we make the most of our finances if we're not even fully aware of what we have? If we don't even know what we have in the bank, we're not doing a great job of making the most of it. We've got to recognize what we have. I believe it's the same thing with our gifts. So the first thing I want us to recognize today, I want you to write this down, maybe in your phone notes or on the program that you came in with, is that you're gifted. I am gifted. Write that down. I am gifted. Remember, each person, I am gifted. Now, maybe you're here today, you're like, that's great. I don't feel gifted. Well, let's have a little fun. I want you to look at the person next to you and with a little attitude say, I am gifted. That's awesome. Dixon, I know Dixon has some attitude out there. They is gifted, y'all. So back to the text. Each person, who is that? Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person. Now, some of you are here today and you don't feel gifted because it's easy to look at skills and talents of other people around you and become in awe with their gifts. And when that happens, you can start to downplay or be insecure about the gifts that you do or don't have. Like, for example, our worship teams. It's easy to see the skills and talents they have on Sunday serving at each of our locations. We have some of the best musicians in the world that serve on our teams. It's easy to be in awe with their gifts and the way that they use them. Or with the gift of speaking or teaching. Man, Jason Miller is extremely gifted. And we've been blessed by him in this season as he's used that to pour into our church. It's easy to be in awe with that gift. Or maybe the gift of encouragement. We all have that person in our life that when we have a rainy day or when things are just going bad, you have that person you know you can call up. You know you can ask to coffee or just spend some time talking to, and they're going to lift your spirits. That person who's gifted in encouragement. For me, that's my wife. She is extremely, extremely gifted when it comes to encouragement. I literally believe she could stand in front of a wall, make the wall smile, and feel confident about its job to just stand there and be a wall for the rest of its life. She is so gifted at encouraging people. But why is it that when we see other people's gifts and when we're in awe of them, we become insecure about the gifts we have? Or we start to downplay the fact that we ourselves are also gifted. Or maybe we get disappointed in the gifts that we don't have. I remember when I came on staff at Crosspoint, during the first month I was here, I had to go through this class called Culture Shock, which basically was like orientation, except cooler because Crosspoint is a really cool place to work. What it was is we would go through kind of the history of the church and just kind of the culture of what we expect with our staff over the course of, I think it was four classes, and it was people that had been on staff, like, new within the last 6 months. There was about 15 or 20 of us taking this class together. And I remember for the first class, I had to take a personality test and a gifts assessment. And basically what the gifts assessment was, is it was to take a look at the gifts that Paul mentions. He actually writes about these gifts in three different letters, in Corinthians, in Romans, and in Ephesians. And it takes a collection of all the gifts that he mentions. And as you answer questions, it helps you assess which ones you likely have according to a point system. So, like, for example, I scored a 27 in leadership, which was high. So I likely have the gift of leadership. My top three were like leadership, administration, and wisdom. But as I took this gifts assessment, my eyes didn't actually gravitate to the gifts that I had. They actually gravitated towards what I didn't have. And I remember as we sat in the class that day, Ashley Warren, who's the woman that runs our employee culture here at Crosspoint, she said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to share with me, what was your highest gift? And then was there anything that surprised you? Maybe something that stood out, like a gift that you didn't realize you had, or something you were bad at that you thought you were good at. If you scored below an 8 in anything, it wasn't just that you didn't have that gift, it was like you were really, really bad at it, okay? I scored a 3 in the gift of mercy. I just want to remind you, I'm a pastor. I deal with people that need mercy all the time. And so I just thought, well, that's kind of crazy. So I shared that almost to kind of be funny, like, well, I scored high in leadership, but I scored a 3 in mercy. Nobody laughed. And then I remember my boss at the time saying, you know, it's not just that you're a pastor. It's like having a 3 in the gift of mercy makes you a bad Christian. And then the room laughed. And some of you today are like, okay, so Kevin's a 3 in mercy. When I need help, I'm not going to the Franklin location. I'm going to go see Pastor Kyle at Mount Juliet. What's up, Kyle? It's lighthearted. It's fun. But when I got back in my car, you know what can tend to happen? You're probably like me in this. The lies can start coming into your head. The insecurity can start filling your mind. And I can really start to play with that. You know, God, if I'm a 3 in the gift of mercy, what business do I have being a pastor? Are you sure I'm even in the right role to begin with? A 3 in the gift of mercy. But God wanted to encourage me in that moment. Let's continue reading this passage together. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. God didn't want me to focus on the gifts that I didn't have. Because there are plenty of people in my life and around me who have the gift of mercy. I gotta focus on the gift of leadership that he's given me. Because part of that gift is helping those people who have the gift of mercy to get in the right situations where they can use that gift. So not only do we need to recognize that we are each gifted, each person, we also need to recognize this. My gifts are significant. Write that down. My gifts are significant. As Paul continues in this passage, he starts to describe an analogy of the human body. And he basically says, look, each of us has a different gift, a different role to play, and each of them are individual, but together they form one body, kind of like the human body. There's someone that is the arm and someone that's the leg, someone that's the eyes or the mouthpiece. And we recognize our gifts and we start to operate in our gifts. We join together as we use them for the purpose they were designed for and start to form like a unified body. And what he says is that this body is supposed to be reflective of who Christ is to the world. That as we operate in these gifts, we should be able, as the church, to show the world who Jesus is. And then he says this, I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant. How it makes you more what, Crosspoint? I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. Each of us plays a significant role. No role is small or overlooked. Each role is significant to represent that body. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were having a conversation with a couple in one of our lobbies. This couple serves on one of our auditorium host teams here at Crosspoint, and we were just kind of joking around about my unhealthy obsession with Alabama football. I got to get them in every message. Just get used to it. We're just having this conversation. I remember at the end of the conversation, I just asked, hey, is there anything that Katie and I can be praying for you guys about? And as soon as I said it, the woman started to tear up a little bit. She said, yeah, actually, you can pray for my son. He's living in a different state right now, and he's found himself walking down a pretty destructive path. He's addicted to drugs. We can't reach out to him. He's not responding to us. I'm not exactly where he is today. I'm not even sure who all is around him. And I don't know what to do other than to pray. Would you pray for him? So my wife and I, and we linked arms with this couple, and we just started praying together. You know what I did not pray? I didn't pray that their son would show up at a church like Crosspoint next Sunday. Because a guy in his shoes, where he is at in life right now, is not looking for a cute invite to church. He's probably not going to walk into a church next Sunday. That's not what he's looking for. What I prayed is that individuals would come into his life that would love him and encourage him right where he is at. That in the midst of the dead end he's headed down, in the midst of the darkness that's around him, in the midst of the captivity he's feeling because he's chained down to sin, that light would break through individuals that are choosing to use their gifts, that would show this guy that God has so much more for his life than the emptiness that he is chasing right now. That's what I pray, that God would use individuals to come into his life right where he's at. At Crosspoint, I gotta brag on us. We do an incredible job of using our gifts every single Sunday. An incredible job of creating an atmosphere where everyone's welcome, where people that aren't perfect can walk in these doors and feel welcome, where nobody's perfect, but we watch as Christ does the impossible. We do an incredible job for an hour every single week. And I want to encourage you to continue being a church that uses your gifts in this place. We did an incredible job yesterday through Serve the City. Hundreds of us in all of our locations went out into our communities and showed Middle Tennessee that Crosspoint loves them, that God cares. What an incredible day. And we do that a few times a year through Serve the City. That's incredible. But I want you to hear me real quick. It would be a shame if the only time we used our gifts that God's given us was for an hour every single week or a couple Saturdays a year. It would be a shame because God has so much work for us outside of these walls, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families, where our gifts are needed. Because in our communities, you know what? Somebody else's son or daughter finds themselves headed down a bad path or going through something horrible in their life. Someone finds themselves there, and you know what? Some other couple is praying at some other church with some other couple about their son or daughter, praying for individuals who will step up and use their gifts to shed light in darkness. That happens outside of these walls. Some woman finds herself in Dixon right now going through a nasty divorce. And you know what she needs? She needs somebody with the gift of hospitality to just take her in, to just grieve with her right now, to maybe help her get her mind off it, take her out to have a fun day, go get food together, to serve her, to walk through this with her. Or a new couple maybe has just moved to Mount Juliet. Maybe they've only been married a year or two. They've left all of their comfort zone, their family, their friends. And maybe they find themselves walking through a really rough patch in their marriage, and they're uncertain about their future, and what they need is somebody with the gift of wisdom pouring truth into them that will change the course of their future, that will change the course of their legacy. Or somebody in Bellevue and Franklin maybe has recently lost a job, and they need someone like my wife with the gift of encouragement that's going to come alongside, put their arm around them, and encourage them that the sun's coming up tomorrow, that there's new opportunities right around the corner, that it's going to be okay, and that they're going to walk with them through this. They're not alone. It's okay. Maybe somebody here in Nashville or one of our dream centers or at God Behind Bars or wherever you're joining online, maybe there's somebody around you that's recently just blown it. No excuses. They just really messed up. And the friends that they thought were true friends have turned away from them in this season. The family they've had turned away from them in this season as they've really blown it. And you know what they need? They need someone with the gift of mercy to come into their life and say, you know what? I know everybody else has turned their back on you, but I'm right here. I forgive you. I love you. And you know what? I still believe in you because God's not done with you. So I'm going to walk through this mess with you. You're not alone. Come on, let's go. Are you seeing it, Crosspoint? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing the difference we could make around Middle Tennessee and around the world if we continued to be a church that recognized our God-given gifts and used them for the purpose that he designed them for? Listen, if you've heard nothing else I've said today, I want you to tune in right here. Here's just the bottom line. I believe that you were created on purpose. Each of us, individually created, individually given strengths and gifts and talents. Each of us, for a purpose. God's given us each something to do to show the world who He is. In a dark world, the church, as we operate in our gifts, is supposed to be the light of Jesus. Crosspoint, you were created on purpose for a purpose. Now, maybe you're here today. You're like, Kevin, this is great, but I'm not really sure what my gifts are, and I don't even know where to start or how to figure that out. I want to encourage you that maybe this week your action step is to spend some time praying. Just, God, would you show me where I'm gifted? Would you show me? A lot of times we can find our gifts in answering the question, what are you passionate about? Or maybe by asking three or four people that you're really close to, hey, what do you think my skills and strengths are? Where do you feel like I'm gifted? And see if some of their feedback overlaps. Or you know what? I'll tell you what, as a location pastor, one of the greatest joys for any of our locations, for all of our pastors feel this way, one of the greatest joys is to see our church recognizing their individual gifts and using them. So maybe you want to reach out to your location pastor this week. Just be like, hey, is there anything you can do to help me figure out what my gifts are? They would be so thrilled to help you discover what your gifts are. So maybe this week's action step is you going on some discovery with God. Figuring out what your gifting is. Or maybe you know what your skills and strengths are. You know what your talents are. You know that you're gifted, but you've been using them entirely for yourself. And maybe today is to recognize that God gave you those skills and strengths, and He designed them in you for the purpose that He has for you. And so maybe this week it's waking up each morning and saying, God, how can I best use my gifts for you today? How can I best use the gifts you've given me for you today? And walk through that day looking for opportunities that God's going to lay in front of you for you to use those gifts for His glory. Maybe that's your action step today. But Crosspoint, I want to be a church that recognizes our God-given gifts and makes a difference in Middle Tennessee because we've chosen to operate in the purpose that He designed them for. I want to read you what Paul said to the church at Rome. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. At all of our locations, would you stand with me? Let's be a church that uses our gifts outside of these walls, that takes the light of Jesus out in this community, recognizing that these gifts, these strengths, these skills came from Him. He's got a purpose for us to use them this week. Let's pray together. God, we thank You so much for the grace that You've extended our way through Jesus Christ. And God, there are people outside of these walls that need that truth, that need that message, that there's a Savior who has hope and new life for them. And God, You've tasked us, the church, with being the messengers to take Your truth outside of these walls. And one of the ways that You've equipped us to be able to do that is through the skills and strengths, the gifts that You have placed in our lives. So God, this week, we want to be a church that uses these gifts to show the world who You are and that You love them, that You do have new life through them, for them, through Jesus. God, throw opportunities our way this week to use our gifts. God, for those in the room that are searching for their gifts, make it crystal clear what their gifts and their strengths are and give them opportunities to use those this week. Help us to be a church that makes the most of the gifts that you've given us. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Cross Point, love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.